Now here we are in the book of Mark. Let's look at some more doctrinal evidence regarding this mother. Verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priest and the scribe sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. Notice the mother's plot is by craft. It's cunning craftiness, Ephesians 4 says. Remember, the reason you want to be established in the faith today as a believer when Satan is operating through the mother, the mystery of iniquity, is that you're no longer tossed to and fro, and that we henceforth be tossed to it, that we henceforth be not tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So it's taken by craft, this craftiness. That's why I love Ephesians, where it says, talking about God and how he tricks Satan at Calvary. One of our YouTube videos is entitled that, God Tricks Satan at Calvary. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. So the mother operates in that realm still. Verse 2, but they said not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. Wimps, total wimps. Look at verse 10. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, I hate that, one of the 12 went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. Ugh. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. Can I start my clock? Yeah, I did. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Oh, well, it's convenient for you, huh, Judas? Yeah. Okay, well, if you were to ask Judas Iscariot that right now, how would that work out for you? As he's burning in the flames of hell. He's going to make his appearance on earth again as the Antichrist, as Satan's going to resurrect him and bring him up here. But, oh well, right now, he'd have a different opinion. Now, look at verse 53 of the same chapter. Verse 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. And with them were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. Look at this entire religious system run by the mother. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And I point out again, palace. The high priest lives in a palace. The mother system will put her top priest, which is the Pope today, in a palace. Okay? And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. See how they take something and twist it? You know, I heard an old preacher say they're so crooked they can wiggle down through a barrel of fish hooks and not get stuck. Right there. There you go. Verse 59. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked them and said unto him, now watch the simplicity of this. Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? That's a pretty simple question. And Jesus said, I am. Do you see what happens when you, and even when the mother's system asks you questions, they really don't want to hear the answer. Okay? So don't fall into that trap when you're dealing with the mother and her false system. Because you're going to tell the truth and guess what? I am. That's what he said. Look at the results. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. That's how stupid they are. He said he was, but they didn't want the truth. Okay? Now, if you're a believer out there, watch how the mother has tricked you. I've seen it happen in our fellowship. People say things. I'll put truth out there. Maybe they say something a little wrong and they get a little corrected or admonished or even rebuked. They don't like it. Listen, a wise man loveth correction, Proverbs says. Correct a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Correct a wise man and he will love thee. Okay, so hey, you remember, when you start getting offended when truth comes out, you're participating in exactly how the mother would like you to have it done. And for the ones who do, you know, listen, it's a real simple thing. We're all learning together. I learn from all of you. And if I say something wrong, I wish some of the men would correct me. Okay? Show me from the verses that I do something wrong. I assure you, if you were to correct me, all right, I would immediately love you even more. Because I love truth. All right? I don't care about myself. I don't have an opinion. Verse 65. So, and some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, oh, it's horrible, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. That is how the mother, listen to me closely. I've never said it to you this way. That is how the mother's system and this whole world feels about Christ in you. And it's amazing, I see some of you now starting to stand for truth as you post on the fellowship. It's so joyful. And how your friends and your family don't like it and they reject you. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ said it clearly in John, marvel not if the world hates you. Know this, that it hated me first. So as Christ starts to live again through your flesh, what kind of reception do you think he's going to get? So don't marvel at that. You're doing wonderful. Hang in there. Okay, Mark chapter 15, verse 1. And straightway, in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. Whenever you get the mother's leaders together to have a meeting about you, there will be no good come out of it. Understand something. As the Lord Jesus Christ lived his life on the earth in his earthly days, he is living that life again, but resurrected life through different doctrine, greater doctrine that he gave to the Apostle Paul. So as Christ starts to live his life again through you, it's going to be a worse reception. Look at what happened to Paul. This happened to the Lord at the end of his life. In his 3 years ministry, no one touched him till the end. All right, it's going to be worse today. But praise the Lord. Hey, it's a great privilege to suffer for him. All right, go to the Gospel of Luke now. Go to the Gospel of Luke. Now, Luke is a very diligent gospel. It's in chronological order. Luke, the beloved physician, and he writes most excellently. Chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And I know we've gone over this, but there's more details. And if God puts it in the Gospels again, it's for you to read it again, so we're going to go over it again. Okay, don't say, well, he's already talked about this. Listen, I know what I taught. Maybe I'll add something different this time because Luke says something different, so pay attention. Verse 2. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, have ye not read the Bible? So much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priest alone. And he said unto them, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him. I mention again Psalm 37, verse 32. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. You see that? That's why it's written like this, and the scribes and Pharisees watched him. That's why God tells you they're watching him, because of that verse of Psalm 37. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts. First Kings chapter 8, he knew their thoughts. 1 Kings 8, look at verse 39, look at the parentheses. The parentheses of verse 39. We're talking about God, read the whole verse. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, as Solomon is praying to God Almighty. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. Look at the parentheses. For thou, even thou only, that's God Almighty, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. So right here in Luke chapter 6, verse 8, when it says, but he knew their thoughts, you know who you're dealing with. You see that? And said to the man, I mean, think about that. If you're hanging around with the Lord Jesus Christ and all of a sudden you think something, he tells you what you're thinking, you know, that'd be enough for me. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Now watch verse 11. And they were filled with madness. Now, there's a good thing. I've been talking to some of the brethren how the mother and part of Satan's job is to change words into different meanings. I guarantee you the mother has tricked all of you because it tricked me for years. When you get angry, you say, I am so mad. Do you realize? Listen, I'm not joking. Do you realize when you have said throughout your life, I am so mad? Satan, through the changing of meanings of words, because you're really angry. Maybe you are crazy. Mad means crazy. When the Apostle Paul in Acts 26, he's preaching to Agrippa, and the other king says, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. You're crazy, Paul. Listen, mad in the scriptures means you're a lunatic. You're crazy. You're beside yourself, the Bible calls it. Listen, so when the mother has tricked you to swap out that meaning and put in a false meaning, you say, now watch it, you say, I'm so mad. You, right then, are giving honor and glory unto the creature of Romans 1, Satan, because he then, who is the accuser of the brethren, if you're a believer, mocks God and says, look at that, God, your child or your daughter, your son or your daughter in Christ is saying they are mad. Yeah, don't say that unless you really are crazy. Now, I've dealt with some brethren lately. I wonder about. But listen, in all seriousness, don't say you're mad. You're angry. That's okay. But speak accurately. Why do I say that? The Lord Jesus Christ said, every idle word that a man speaks, he'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. Idle word, that's words you're not thinking about. That's like when it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you get up to go to the bathroom and you stub your toe and you say something. You're not even thought about it 10 years ago, right? He did. Okay? Every idle word. All right. So speak accurately. Verse 11, and they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. Notice the mother's system. Now that is the commentary right there from God Almighty. God tells you what they were filled with. Now if you were to ask them and say, hey, are you all mad? They wouldn't say they were, but they were. They're crazy. When real truth comes about, you will make people go crazy. I'm telling you. Look at the heretic Phelps. What you got to do is read his article that he has on his website. He says, I'm secretly working for the papacy of Rome. Me. The dude's lost it, man. And look at his doctrine. He's just lost it. He never had it to begin with, so he couldn't have lost it, but he's going crazy. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Wow. Luke chapter 7. I love him. Luke chapter 7, look at verse 29. More evidence. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptisms of John. Baptism of John. Notice the people that believed the Lord Jesus Christ, they justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Do you know, never one time in the scriptures is the word lawyer used in a positive fashion. Never. Ever. That's wrong. See, the Lord just popped a verse in my brain. Now, go with me to Timothy. See that? Wrong. See that? Go and say something that was wrong. Lord said, what are you, nuts? Where is that verse about the lawyer? Okay, let's find it. Oh, it's in 2 Timothy, before he dies. Dun, 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 dun. Where is it? Let's see. Lawyer. Hang in there with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee. Take Mark, he's profitable to me. Demas hath forsaken to me. Henceforth, I'll keep the faith. come that word is in my mind now? Lawyer. Gotta find it. Treaters any high-minded. Hold on. Someone the lawyer. Why is it? Why is that word good to me now all of a sudden? Someone the lawyer. Oh! Titus! See that? Thank you for being so patient. Titus chapter 3. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. You see, the Holy Spirit organizes verses doctrinally. See, that's a good thing. You notice how I don't edit these videos. The Holy Spirit, when you say something, even that's what Philippians is talking about. Let me show you a great example of learning. Okay, keep your hand in Titus because we'll go back to it. But look at Philippians. What you just witnessed before your eyes, this verse in action. Okay, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, when the Apostle Paul says in verse 13, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, perfectly functioning saints, be thus minded. Now watch this. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. As soon as I said, you see that? Lawyers. There's never one time mentioned good. Bam! The verse popped up. And I knew the Holy Spirit, you notice I don't ever get you the numbers. I'm bad with the numbers of the chapters because I don't read the chapter first. But I know doctrinally he said it to a preacher. And that he was locked up and he's wanting to, you know, he's needing an attorney. So right there, you see, he revealed it unto me. If you do anything, you step out of line. It's a great passage. And you see, that's why I leave this in here in the video. You see, honest preachers, honest teachers are always honest with the listeners. You see that? So when I said that, not true. Not true at all. Because look at this, verse 13. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. So this man Zenas was a good lawyer. But this I can tell you, all of the other lawyers, I don't know of another verse, you see. I don't know of another verse that the lawyers are anything good. It doesn't really say it. So, but right there, you do have a good one. So that was a perfect, perfect illustration for everyone to learn and to show you the honesty of when real teaching takes place. Real teaching takes place, and I say something. In fact, that's the first time I ever did it on video. I said something like, whoa, bam, right as soon as I said it. You notice you can teach fast. You say something, something goes off in your head. The verse says, lawyer. It's in the epistles to the preachers. You see that? That's why I looked in Timothy first, towards the end of his life. No, it's over in Titus. That's why I love this book. You see that? That's how much I love truth. Oh, so it's a good illustration too. See, I just got corrected. You see how happy I am to be corrected? You see how wonderfully joyful I am to be corrected. So when you all get corrected by Christ in me, don't spaz out. correct a wise man and he will love thee. Thank you, Father. See how that great Holy Spirit teaches. That's a great... I'm so glad I got that on video. All right, where were we? Oh, yeah. Luke chapter 7, verse 29 and 30. Verse 30. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, man, I'm so glad I got that on video. It's like one of those moments that could never be captured again. You know what a false preacher would do and teacher? He'd stop the video and start again because he made a blip. Hey, look, Corinthians is clear. If we would judge ourselves now, we shouldn't be judged then at the judgment seat of Christ. Look, fix your life now. Don't worry about making blips. Okay? All right, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, let's look at verse 37. Luke chapter 11, verse 37. This book is so great. Luke chapter 11, look at verse 37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisees saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye, Pharisees, make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools! Did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? Ye fools! Now, you know, the other day, one of the brothers said, you got to speak the truth in love. Amen. Amen. So right there. How do you think that the receiving audience felt when he called them fools? Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done. Ah, interesting point. So in the mother system, they pass over the love of God. You remember that. They pass over it. So when someone accuses you of not preaching lovingly, no, that's the mother system. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Sounding like Matthew 23, huh? For as ye are graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Look at this. One of the lawyers goes, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. Listen, I know you're talking to all of the Pharisees over there, but you're offending us too here. Okay, us lawyers. Watch what he says. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers! Oh, thanks for bringing it up there, buddy. Let me get you too, now that you spoke. Now here is a great Bible definition of what lawyers do today in simple legal matters. You know, just now going on at work, there's this little simple legal matter taking place regarding some federal government things with other things. It's no big deal, but you still want to get an attorney. These attorneys, what they charge you, okay, to just talk to them. I don't know who they think they are. Solomon? My gosh. All right, but anyways, watch this in verse 46. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men, that means you put on men, with burdens grievous to be borne. Yeah, that's the bill. And ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. I just find that interesting. You know? Verse 47, Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Think about that. They're building all the sepulchres and all these tombs of the prophets. Their fathers, their ancestors, killed them. Man, that's sort of like Al Capone's kids, which I don't think he had any, and they're truly kids there, Brother Marco Antonio Ponce, if they're Al Capone's. You know, they're his children. That's like them, you know, going out there to the cemetery out there and putting flowers on the graves of all they gunned down in that alley on St. Valentine's Day, the heathen call it. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God. Whoa, look at that, the wisdom of God, look at that phrase. I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, shall be required of this generation. Notice in verse 49 very subtly that God does something wonderful there. In verse 49 where the Lord says, Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles. This talking about the killing of Abel unto Zacharias. Watch when the Lord says that in Matthew 23. Instead of the phrase, the wisdom of God, watch what it's recorded here. Matthew chapter 23, I think it is, isn't it? Yes. Matthew chapter 23, look at verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify. That's the same companion passage. And here it's recorded that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I'm sending you prophets. And here in Luke chapter 11, it says here, that it says in verse 49, Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles. See the reference back to God Almighty? there, the wisdom of God. I, God the Father, will send them prophets and apostles. But in Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I'm sending it unto you. Oh, they're so great. Wow. Boy, you know, the mother system is so easy to dismantle when you know the Bible. You notice how we're taking apart and revealing the mother layer by layer. Yep. Focusing on the mother from the scriptures alone. Not doing a history of all of her harlots and abominations through the wisdom of men and their stupid stuff. Okay. Let's read this now, verse 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. And I point out to you something from even wasn't told in Matthew. Notice the blood of Abel unto Zechariah. God Almighty is going to require that of this generation, he says. That is of the nation of Israel. What did the nation Israel have to do with the killing of Abel by Cain? You see, the nation Israel didn't start till 2,000 years later when God calls out Abraham. Makes him Abraham. The reason is this. When you partake in the mother's system of evil, you want to partake in it? Guess what? I'm going to impute unto you everything the mother is responsible for. You want to stay in Satan's camp. You want to stay with the mother and her false doctrines and her teachings and promote her stuff. You're going to be partaker of her sins. That's why it says come out from among them. Don't, my people, come out from that system. You see that? You don't want to even have the mother touch you. Anything she has to do. You stand for truth of this book. Phenomenal passage. Verse 52. Woe unto you lawyers! You know how great? Look at that. Talk about threading the needle. You talk about perfection, this book. Most of the time, these lawyers, like I said, are mentioned very negatively. So I make a statement out there, and as great as it sounded at the time, because I tell you, 99% of the time, the lawyers are referenced evil. There's one in there who's referenced good. So it's not the profession that's wrong. It's the people in the profession. Because the Apostle Paul says there's a good one out there. But you see how quickly, talk about threading needle, how quickly I was corrected. And I let that run till I found the verse. It also gives you a good exercise in how the Lord shows me verses, how I find them. I don't look at numbers. And you know what? I can't explain this. This is off the subject entirely, and it is so strange. Every time I look for a verse, I do not read down the passage as you're reading it. Don't ask me why, because I don't know why. I do not read down the passage, like from, say, Romans 1:18 to 3:20, those 64 verses. If I'm looking for a verse, I don't go like I'm reading. I don't know why this happens. I read it backwards. I would start from 3:20 and go all the way back to chapter 1. I'm reading the verses backwards. I've always done that from the beginning. When I'm looking for a verse, it's like I look for it that way. I never think of looking for it that way. I can't explain why I look for it that way. Now, some of you who hate my guts will probably think that's because you're so backwards. Think what you want. But I always find them because of John. Hold your hand there. Hold your hand there in Luke and look at John. This is why I always find them. For my enemies, I'll speak this unto them. John chapter 4, verse 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So he finds it for me. I just sometimes it takes longer than others, but I get it. I'll get it. And it's such a good illustration of so many things of what just happened. This is a very valuable video, this video. I'm telling you. And a lot of things for you men who want to be preachers and teachers. Be an honest one. Honest. Okay. Chapter 11 now of Luke, verse 52. Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. Look at that. The ones who were trying to go in, ye hindered. Now, it's obvious that the lawyers here, very good illustration. I'm going to point out a huge spiritual bombshell for you. This is like if the atom bomb and the hydrogen bomb are the top, this is like a huge... It's a little atom bomb, but it's enough. It's huge, what I'm going to show you. Notice the lawyers. Listen closely. Make sure I get this in time. Perfect. the lawyers, when we think of lawyers today, you don't think of lawyers as tied to a religious system, do you? You don't. You think of lawyers as simply as a profession that represents you in legal matters. I'm telling you, the mother in the scriptures is mixed with government and she reigns over the kings of the earth. And the mother right here, look at how lawyers, which is a profession that's supposed to represent you in legal matters, is mixed with the system of the mother religiously. Now, they'll never tell you that, the lawyers. But the mother's religious system is one and one, intertwined with lawyers. So when you go to a lawyer's office today, you remember they're working in the system of the mother. That's the system they're in. Because look at the verse, 52. Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. That's in religious things. That's not saying you lost the case in court. That's in religious things. The ones that were trying to get into the kingdom, you hindered. That's religious. So you have lawyers mixed with the mother's religious system. That's what's happening today. I'm trying to get you to see that this mother, this great whore that reigneth over the kings of the earth, is not just religion. Roman Catholicism that's used by the mother has permeated every facet of life more than you can imagine in profession. You see that? That's why it reigns over the kings of the earth. Amazing. Man, that's amazing. I'm amazed when I teach it. Verse 53. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things. Boy, I think of that all the time when I read some of my YouTube comments. These people trying to provoke me. It's like they come after me. They think that they're going to like upset Christ in me, I guess. No, they don't think that. That's what they try to do. I live in this wonderful world of peace with my Savior. I'm never offended. I can get angry because charity, remember what charity does, it's not easily provoked. Charity can be provoked, but not easily. And if I do, you will see the verses come out in that sword wielded by God the Holy Spirit properly. Verse 54, look at verse 53 again. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. It's not going to happen. You can't catch the Lord Jesus Christ. So how comforting isn't that? For us believers, when you walk after the Spirit and are filled with the Spirit, which isn't this thing like you see on TV and goofballs rolling down the aisles screaming, okay, being filled with the Spirit, when we get there in Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, you're going to see how it's doctrine. When you're walking with every thought brought into the obedience of Christ, and that you think on the pure things of Philippians 4, and you're offensively every day choosing to think on right things, it's the doctrine that flows. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit, because you're walking after him. So he's in front, and they're seeing the life of Jesus Christ as you're conformed to his image. But the mother will always try to catch something out of your mouth. You know, there's a dear brother. I got to say something. There's a dear brother I've had great fellowship with on the forum. I can't remember his real name because everyone has different names, you know. Anyways, he sends me this article. Brother Martin, this man posted an article about you that you were in prison. I was thinking, well, where have you been? No kidding. Really? Boy, that's news to me. I mean, it's been all over the website and everything for like months. Everybody who knows me knows. I didn't hide it, you know. That was my Bible college. You know, it's funny. If you look at my Facebook page, on my page, Martin Richling, my personal page, it says where you attended college. This is so funny. I put down there FPC Florence and Duluth Bible College. I've actually had people, because I look at my analytics, they search me out. They search me out for FPC Florence and Duluth Bible College. They're looking for it. FPC, you goofball, stands for Federal Prison Camp in Florence, Colorado, and Duluth, Minnesota. That was my Bible college. And since Facebook was demanding where I went to college, I put down the answer. That truly is. That's how I call it. You see? But they'll try to find anything, and so they're searching for it. So, and his dear brother, I love you, brother. You know who you are. I can't remember his name, or I tell you who he is. I can't remember his name. But he said he says, I'm so confused now, I don't know what to think about you. You're wrong to begin with, brother. What do you mean to think about me? You're confused. Confused about what? Were you following me or the scriptures? You see, if people follow a man, you will be confused when you find out that this man had a past. A past? I guess you were confused when you read that the Apostle Paul was Saul of Tarsus, killing believers, and in Acts chapter 8, on his road to Damascus, in Acts chapter 9? Huh? Were you confused then? Come on here, let's all grow up and be men. All right, the issue is the scriptures. And besides, I didn't hide it. That's what I don't understand. All right. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 1. More on the mother. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, so many people you can't even count them. And yet, at the beginning of at Pentecost, when they're in the upper room, there's about 120 disciples. You see what truth does? It's not a numbers game. It is not a numbers game. Real truth. But yet the mother would have you believe, Lord's blessing because we had so many people in service. No. Look, I purged someone from the fellowship today. All right? I don't care about numbers. Verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. It amazes me. The mother's system, that leaven. Remember, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And you know what? My little helper, Pam, my wife, and I was going to say my friend. She is my friend. Pam, my wife and my friend and my sister, my spouse, as Solomon said. You know, she pointed out something to me today in the forum. The reason why I watch that as close as I can is because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I understand these principles, and I'm trying to maintain it so that we all can get together, get some basic things out of the way. Excuse me, my throat is ready to shut down. But anyways, praise the Lord. So just understand a little leaven. And the leaven of the Pharisees, the mother's plan, is always designed to and is filled with hypocrisy. Verse 2, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. That verse, I mean, this is a wonderful session for all of you today because I'm telling you, that's why, you know, the secrets of men and a judge according to Paul's gospel, the great white throne there in Romans 2. Listen, I don't keep secrets. I don't hide anything because guess what? You know, I don't hide it from you. You're my family, for the believers I'm talking to. For the heretics out there, I don't care what you think. But you see what I mean? Great passage. The mother, though, does keep things secret. It's called the mystery of iniquity that Satan's doing today. It's a secret from the entire earth. Verse 3, therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. That which ye have spoken in the ears in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. I love the Lord. Chapter 13, verse 11. Chapter 13, look at verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, what are you so infuriated about there, Mr. Ruler of the synagogue? Someone gets healed and you're ticked off. What an idiot. Because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. What a moron. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Amen, Lord. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. Ha! And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Notice, though, what the mother's little minions and little harlots and abominations are called here. Adversaries, small a. That is because Satan, who is the adversary, capital A, an adversary, I remind you, is not just your enemy. You can have an enemy who just hates your guts and does nothing about it. An adversary goes out of his way and tries to stand in your path to harm you, goes after you. Adversaries are trying to block you. They attack you. That's an adversary. Okay, so adversaries are always your enemy, yes, but it's worse than just being an enemy, because an enemy doesn't have to necessarily do anything to you. Very interesting verse in the scriptures. Okay, chapter 14, look at verse 1. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. Again, I remind you, Psalm 37, 32. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. You see that? Amazing how the Lord Jesus Christ just exposes everything. Chapter 19 of Luke. Chapter 19 of Luke. Okay, let's look at verse 37. Chapter 19, look at verse 37. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent, of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. So everyone now is giving honor and praise due properly unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 38, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Amen. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. You notice they're not confessing that he's the Lord. They're just calling him Master. And he says, Rebuke thy disciples. They didn't want to hear it. You mark it down. Envy so incensed the religious leaders of the mother system in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't want to hear it. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. A great passage. He's not just giving a figurative illustration, as the boneheaded dolt commentaries tell you. He literally, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the earth is a living creature. Okay? The trees of the field, it says, shall clap their hands. Everything that hath breath shall praise the Lord. Everything. And the stones, they're not just this hunk of nothingness. God made them. Okay, so everything is going to praise the Lord. The desert's going to blossom as a rose. And so he's not just giving a figure of speech there. But of course, the mother and her system did not like it at all. Now, what we'll do is we'll stop there.